The committee of the whole will come to order. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 7. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill number 7, as introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to public health and safety, repealing archaic provisions requiring motion picture operators to provide running water and flush toilet facilities, repealing related provisions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill number 7, Sanitary Facilities for Motion Picture Operators, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Legislators who voted aye: Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Halverson, Hutchings, Yeagie, Crone, Piperinen, Gay was excused.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 7 do pass. And I'll turn the explanation of that bill over to our good representative from House District 23.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your box, you'll find a handout. It's a copy of the statutes, and it says at the top HB 7. And what this bill does is repeal three statutes that are on the books. And the only reason I found these statutes, I was working on a different bill that I had to go through and look at every misdemeanor crime we had on the books. And I don't know if you ever noticed this, but sometimes certain magazines will put little funny articles about funny statutes that are still on the books in certain states. You've seen those probably. This was an example of one of those that at the time it probably made a lot of sense, but it probably doesn't make a lot of sense as of today. And so what I was trying to do is just repeal off statutes that are no longer necessary and to take crimes off the books that really nobody's going to be prosecuting. So what happened was in the 1930s, talkies came into being. Before that, they had silent movies. And then as they moved into talkies, they got longer and longer movies. The operator had to hand crank it. The operator needed a bathroom. So this law required not a bathroom for the theater goers, a specific bathroom for the operator of the movie projector, the guy cranking it. So if you look on what I handed out to you, what it says is it is the duty to provide this, to provide running water and toilet facilities in the room used by any cinematograph operator. Well, we don't have a lot of cinematograph operators anymore. And what's been fascinating, though, once I put this out there, I did get some phone calls from some different people that actually knew some of the history of this, and there are some communities that you will still find these in some of our older theaters. These restrooms still exist. But I talked to a gentleman from another state that runs a Film Buff magazine, and he said this was actually somewhat of a common statute that got passed in the 1930s across the nation, and most states have taken it off the books. We're one of the few that still have it on the books, and I would just ask you to repeal these off the books and so that we don't have crimes on the books anymore for this.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of this bill. The good representative from Riverton and I came into this session at the same time, and we joined hands with all 18 of the new members and said, look, for every bill we put on the books, we're going to take two off. And here we are in 2013, and it looks like one's coming off.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Questioning having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Davidson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 7 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 7 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 110. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 110 is introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to gasoline tax distribution, modifying the sunset on off-road recreational vehicle gasoline tax distributions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 110, Off-Road Vehicle Gasoline Tax Distribution Sunset, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Legislators that voted aye: Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Halverson, Hutchings, Yeagy, Crone. Noes were legislature Pieperinen, and excused was Representative Gay.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Davison?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 110 do pass, and I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to our good friend from House District 60.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Chairman, this bill is nice and simple, and that's why they gave it to me, I believe. If you look on the second page, you see until June 2013, what this bill will do is that it will take the sunset off and extend it to 2019. They extended it 6 years to keep it into the general session. Basically what happens is when you buy gasoline, you pay taxes on it, and we get to discuss that later in the session. If your community is anything like mine, oftentimes you are at the gas pump and you look across and there are people that would have trailers and they're filling up their ATVs with gasoline. What happens with this is that they calculate how many gallons approximately are paid by these ATVs vehicles so that they can help provide trails for these recreationists to go to. I asked for some information and I thought that this was pretty interesting. There are 1,361 miles or trails in the state of Wyoming, and the number of miles is 8,175.68. And what this tax does is it provides the ability for the state and its partners to make these trails and to keep them going. It is estimated that about 80 gallons a vehicle. An ATV vehicle uses 80 gallons, which is about $10.40 a year. And when you add all that up, last year, or in 2011, $563,441 was collected. What this bill does, and I hope that you would recommend that we continue to support this industry, would continue until the year 2019. Thank you. I stand for questions.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on and against this bill, and there's a very simple reason why. I'm very familiar with ATVs and off-road vehicles, since that's the business that I'm in. And I notice that this money goes to the State Park Road account. But one problem is right now there is not one inch of trail, off-road trails for ATVs that have been built in state parks. And so I don't understand why we're allocating the money to build ORV trails when they're not actually building any. So I don't see a need to continue to give them money to build trails that they're not building. So please vote against it, and let's have the money go to our highways.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question, if I might. We have a sunset date of 6 years, and I'm wondering what the importance is of the 6 years. Why not 2 years, or why do we, well, it's not really a sunset, but technically it is. Why do we not just take it off if it's that important of a tax?
Representative Biagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That did not come up in committee, that the 14 or the 15 or 19, we just went along with that. So I imagine it was a six-year period before that. We didn't have that on there either. But in answer to the last question, there are many trails that are built that are used by ATVs in our area. There are trails that go along the in the Uintas that go along and cross the main road going up, and they maintain those just for ATVs. So even though there might not be any, you know, in the state park, there are a lot of roads that are maintained by the Parks and Recreation.
Representative Croker.
Thank you. I'm going to have to disagree with the good representative from the southwest corner of the state, because the money that where those trails are maintained by that department, but there is a sticker that every ATV operator buys where they pay $15. That $15 goes into a fund, and that is what maintains the trails. None of the money from the gas tax is maintaining the trails, so this will not affect how those trails are currently funded.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I differ with that, because this includes the snowmobile trails, and they do keep those snowmobile trails usable all across the state. That's who takes care of them, and this money is used for that.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. According to the information that I got from the state is that the state of Wyoming has 27 trails of its own, and they also support 41 trails by local entities. So I assume that that is the cities and counties. The gas tax is in addition to the registration fees that they have. Registration for last year was $812,655, and the gas tax was $563.441, which gave $1.3 million, basically. In my neck of the woods, and what I know is that a lot of this money was used to make sure that we would have access to federal lands, federal forests, and those areas. I haven't had a lot of experience, but I've had a significant amount of experience, is that people like their ATVs. They like to go out for roads, and they would like to have more. If we do not extend this and this date, there will be no monies to keep the roads open or to develop new ones. So I ask you to support the bill.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you. Someone asked the question, when was the last time that this was updated, this law? And it was in 2008 until June 2008 till 2013.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm kind of going by memory here, but I think the critical issue here is that it's a use of fuel that's used for off-road purposes. And in that regard, since it's off-road purchases, the normal thing they come in for is to say, well, it's off-road, so I need an exemption from it. And the history was that with the Parks Department, the enthusiasts that use these kind of things says, well, instead of just taking it off and giving us an exemption, which is hard to handle, why don't you just take approximately what is being used in these machines and use that to help our roads. And, you know, that's kind of the history of it. And, you know, we've got other cases the same way. We've got, you'll see in the statutes where there's a boat motor, you know, they buy fuel to put in outboard motors on boats, and of course they don't drive on the road. So there's the same situation for fixing up places for boats to park and boats to launch and things like that. So it's I guess that's the history of it, and I just thought I'd add that. Thank you.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chair Davidson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 110 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 110 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 10.
House Bill number 10, as recommended by the Corporations an Act relating to insurance, requiring language to be included in a certificate of insurance, providing definitions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, the Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred in House Bill 10, Certificates of Insurance, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass along with the following amendments. Those who voted aye. Representative Blickery, Byrd, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Swanser, excused were Berger and Gay.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Representative Blickery?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 10 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to put management of the bill into the hands of our representative from Teton County.
Excuse me, Representative. Did you also move the amendment? Thank you. Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I urge you to vote no on the amendment. We thought that we were cleaning up language, but the language that was originally in the bill was consistent with the rest of the insurance statutes. So if there are no questions, I'll call the question again. I urge your no vote. Oh, wait.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. This was an amendment that I made in committee. I took some advanced drafting classes in grad school this last semester, and as just for the point that shall not is not a proper English or grammatical term anymore, after making the amendment, I did discuss with LSO that it's badly worded throughout our statutes, and this change would probably be not wholesome to the rest of the bill. So while grammatically that's correct, in the purpose of maintaining our statutes, I'd ask you to also vote no on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Is there any other discussion on the amendment? You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has not been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is regarding certificates of insurance. Certificates of insurance traditionally have been documents that have been used to verify the existence of insurance coverage. So it might be a commercial landlord who's verifying that a tenant has coverage, or a building contractor who's verifying that a subcontractor has coverage. But it's not designed to summarize the coverage itself. And more what's happening is that requesters, in order to protect themselves from liability, are requesting more and more information to be on these certificates of insurance. They don't want to have to read through the whole policy, so they want someone to summarize what's in the policy. And one of the examples that was given during our committee meeting would be, you know, does the coverage include if a tree falls on my house? Well, I can say yes if it's an accidental occurrence, but if you cut down your tree knowing that it's going to hit your house, or if you've been negligent in taking care of your tree, you know, there are 1,000 different answers to that question, and the policy is designed to be the legal document. And so as more and more information gets on these certificates of insurance, it becomes questionable as to what is actually the legal document. So this bill is designed to make sure to confirm that the policy is the legal document, that the certificate of insurance is only a matter of information, and that it's printed on there that it's only a matter of information, and that it doesn't confer any rights on the certificate holder. It doesn't add anybody to the policy. It doesn't change the terms of the policy. And I'll stand for any questions.
Any further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Oh, sorry, Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand the thrust of the bill. However, the way it is drafted, if an additional named insured is requesting a certificate, the additional named insured may inherently, by virtue of that additional, have a right to understand what the contract is, and if it becomes modified in some fashion, or in particular, if it happens to expire or be canceled for non-payment. I just raised the question, have you thought of that? Is that included in your process and your thought of such a measure, and if so, it should help the position of the bill. If you would explain it, please.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was my exact question in the committee. And the way it was explained is that all of those changes, so an additional insured is added to the policy before a certificate is issued. And so technically, it would be the responsibility of the additional insured to have a copy of the policy, but that the certificate of insurance really is just reflecting what information is already in the policy. So if you added an additional insured, it would not be valid unless they were also added to the policy, which is technically what is supposed to happen before they end up on the certificate. I just probably made that way more confusing than it originally was.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Acting Chairman Blickery's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 10 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 10 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As your committee number 2 will be leaving the floor in a few minutes, I thought I'd make this announcement that we'll continue budget agency hearings at 3 and at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, and also that your House Committee number 2 will meet at 1 p.m. Tuesday, January 15th, to hear House Bill 78, Budget Review Process, and House Bill 31, Printing of State Directory and Constitution.
Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 11. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill number 11, as presented by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to insurance holding companies, providing for use of supervisory colleges to assess insurance holding company risks, providing for approval of applications for divestiture, providing for submission of additional financial information, providing for consolidated hearings with other state insurance commissioners, providing for disclaimers of affiliation, providing for confidentiality as specified, providing for rules and regulations, providing definitions, providing penalties, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred to House Bill 11, Insurance Holding Companies System Regulatory Act, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Blickery, Byrd, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Zwanzer, two excused, Representative Berger and Representative Gay.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Acting Chairman Blickrey.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 11 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And, Mr. Chairman, I would like to turn over the explanation of the bill to the representative from the Capital City.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 11 is a committee bill that oversees insurance holding companies. This is a model act that's been adopted by the National Association of a conglomerate of insurance commissioners from each state that do model laws. As this is model language that every state is adopting, I won't bore you with the details specifically of each section unless someone requests it, but I will tell you what the bill does from a cursory level and be happy to go through the amendments as I go through. So basically what the bill does is reflect how regulators can better understand the activities and potential financial risks posed by non-insurance companies within an insurance company's holding system. So most of the concerns that are addressed in this act as part of the Model Act that we redid in December of 2010 revolves around the privacy and sharing of information and how regulators and insurance companies have access to the private information of an insurance holding company without infringing on that insurance company their rights. So the Model Act allows for state insurance regulators to share confidential documents within the regulatory system with other regulators in other states in conformance with, you know, the laws of this act that every other state is adopting. They must agree in writing to keep this information confidential within the system. And this really all centers around making sure that insurance holding companies remain solvent. I mean, that's really what we're getting at. And to address any early risks that may be found that would be a detriment to the company or start to show insolvency, to work with that company before, you know, it's too late. The law does increase oversight of transactions between insurance and affiliates in the insurance company's holding system. And it gives regulators the power to require financial information from the insurance company concerning the insurance company's non-insured affiliates within that corporation. It also extends the power of regulators to participate in what we're now calling supervisory colleges that basically relate to insurance holding companies that have international operations outside of the domestic laws of the United States. So once again, the bill goes to trying to ascertain the maximum amount of privacy on behalf of insurance holding companies, but it does make them subject to basic oversight to ensure solvency. As this is a model law, we try not to mess with it too much, so we're in compliance, but I will go through the amendments we made that I think are non-controversial. There's kind of five categories. The first, if you look at the Standing Committee Amendment, lines 1 through 9, basically we're just adding on page 5, line 22, that they agree in writing. This conforms with the rest of the sentence that we'll read. The recipient agrees in writing to maintain the confidentiality and privileged status of any document, material, or other information, and has verified in writing the legal authority to maintain confidentiality. We're there putting also on page 6 and 26.2.1.21, which is part of the current statute. We're just amending back in or in the course of analysis by the commissioner of the financial condition or market conduct of a company. This wasn't in the bill originally because we felt, the insurance department felt that they already have this power in state statute, so we didn't include it as part of the Model Act. But in committee, we testified that, you know, there's no reason not to tighten it up. We think we already had that, but no reason not to do it. 21 through 29 on the amendment, or when I went through and took the word such out of all the statutes, as most of you know, the Senate's really good about taking the word such anywhere they find it, so that's, I thought I'd save them the trouble. The fourth major amendment is on page 28, after line 23. You can read it amongst yourselves. This is also in the Model Act. LSO felt that we already had this. You know, within our laws, we didn't need to be redundant, but at least tightens up the Model Act, and it made the insurance companies that came to committee, you know, feel more comfortable, and the department was perfectly fine with it. And then again, on page 29, delete the word may and insert the word shall. It just conforms to the section. Also delete the word that, put which is better grammar. All interested parties agreed to these changes and said they were necessary. It actually was an amendment from both the insurance department and from the private insurance agencies wanted to see that change. So if there's no question on any of the standing committee amendments, I would call for the question on those at this time.
Any other discussion on the amendment? You've heard the motion that the Standing Committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Acting Chairman Blickery's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 11 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? No. House Bill 11 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise for purpose of reading in the Standing Committee reports, after which we will consider additional bills.
You've heard the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. House Bill 23, amended and recommended do pass. House Bill number 28, recommended to do pass. House Bill number 29, recommended do pass. House Bill number 40, recommended do pass. House Bill number 60, recommended do pass. House Bill 111, amended as follows. Recommended do pass. House Bill 112, amended as follows. Okay. Recommended do pass. Representative Brown moved that the Committee of the Whole rise and sit again. Motion prevailed. House Bill number 7, recommended do pass. House Bill 110, recommended do pass. House Bill 10, recommended do pass. House Bill 11, amended as follows. Recommended do pass.
There we are.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor of adoption of the Committee of the Whole report, say aye. Opposed? No. Committee of the Whole report is adopted.
All right.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, there is a revised agenda summary out that's in your inbox. It has additional bills. We'll go as far, the next four in order on that are House Bill 47, 32, 64, and 116. It will go that far, or 4 o'clock, whichever is first, and quit for the day. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, before we do that, we should probably read those bills in.
Oh, that'd be a good idea, Mr. Speaker.
We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
House Bill number 47 is introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to children, providing that the relevant proceedings of a court action involving misconduct of a minor may be disclosed to the minor's school district for purposes of suspension or expulsion of the minor from school as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred to House Bill 47, confidential student disciplinary hearing, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those legislators who voted aye, Connolly, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, and Teeters. The one no vote was from Representative Freeman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 32, Election Vacancies Appointment Process, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Blickery, Green, Kirkbride, Petroff, Dan Zwanenser. Two absents, Representative Byrd and Paxton. Two excused, Representative Berger and Gay. House Bill number 64. Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 64, Data Center Co-location Tax Exemption, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, Winters. One no vote, Representative Reeder. House Bill number 116 is introduced by Representative Lockhart. Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 116, Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Summers, and Winters.
Are there, Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, can I have privilege of the floor, please?
Certainly.
Members, I did want to make an announcement. We all know we've got a lot of new members, and some of them come with great youth and vigor. But one of our new members is losing some of his youth and vigor today because it is the Honorable Representative Fowler's birthday today. And so Representative Blake has agreed to lead us all in a rousing rendition of Happy Birthday.
Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You have heard the motion. All in favor of the motion that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House is in committee of the whole. Representative Burkhart, welcome back.
It's never a dull moment.
We'll get started.
Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 47. The reader will please read the bill.
House Bill number 47, as introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to children, providing that relevant proceedings of a court action involving misconduct of a minor may be disclosed to the minor school district for purposes of suspension or expulsion of the minor from school as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 47, confidential student disciplinary hearing, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Connolly, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, Teeters. There was one no vote, Representative Freeman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 47 do pass. I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I will turn the explanation of the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment over to the sponsor.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. House Bill 47 is an added exception regarding the confidentiality of juvenile matters. And so what we've got in our statutes, when a juvenile is charged with crimes, their records by statute are kept confidential. Good policy, good rule. There are some exceptions to that, to where those records, and when I say that, we're talking about records held by the county attorney, by the police department, sheriff's department, whatever governmental agency may be investigating the particular matter. What we find then in the purpose of this bill is to make another exception to the disclosure of those records, and I'll go through this bill a little more with some of the safeguards in place, but our two school boards that are having disciplinary expulsion hearings on the same matter. And this, in my mind, helps save the duplication of effort and also helps ensure that the child or the student who is being expelled actually has proper due process, and that the information, the investigative work is actually presented to that school board, which is the the trier of fact in those situations. And I think what I'll ask is that we clear the Standing Committee's amendment out of the way, and then I'll go into the bill just a little bit more. Within the bill itself, we allowed a school district's employee to request the information and for that information to be turned over, but for limited purposes, for disclosure to the superintendent and the school board only in a confidential hearing. The Standing Committee and I had a great discussion in terms of that employee making the request or receiving the information was a bit too broad. And so what we said with the Standing Committee Amendment, it's referenced in three places, is rather than any school district employee, what we're talking to is any administrative employee, for example, the vice principal, the principal, and the superintendent are the only ones who can make the request and receive that information. And take any questions on that, and I'd like to get that amendment out of the way so I could discuss the bill in a little greater depth.
Is there any further discussion? We are on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 47. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 47, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I gave that overview, and an example that I'm very much aware of dealt with a bomb threat that had a handwriting component to that. It was written, and this was investigated, obviously, by the police department, who had an expert go through the doing a handwriting analysis. Well, at the same time, our school district, while that matter is a criminal matter, being investigated and pursued by the county attorney in my area. The school district has an obligation to look at going through the expulsion process. And when the school district's attorney requested, hey, can I get a copy of that handwriting expert's analysis, the county attorney, and I would have to say appropriately so, said, no, this is a juvenile matter, and the statutes do not allow me to disclose that information to you. And therefore, the expulsion hearing went forward without that written expert's report. It's not going to come up a lot. I'll just say that because this is just for the juvenile matters. And it's probably going to only be helpful because of the urgency for school boards to get to those expulsion, and I say again, those confidential expulsion hearings. But there are situations just as this where
the state, the governmental, you know, the police department, sheriff's department is doing this investigation, and they're expending resources to, you know, verify that a drug or a substance is in fact an illicit drug, those types of things, where to take that information, put it over into the hands of the superintendent and the school board for a confidential expulsion hearing. Makes perfect sense. And that's the substance of the bill. We've got the potential or the some protections in here, and on page 2, I'll draw your attention there on line 22. It says, only materials and evidence relevant to the minor's potential suspension or expulsion shall be disclosed to any administrative employee or member of the Board of Trustees. And so that's the overview of it. I just think it's a good cooperating component and a very appropriate situation for the sharing of this information. Safeguards are in place. And again, I can't stress this enough, this is for the confidential expulsion hearings. I'll stand for any questions.
Is there any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 47 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. House Bill 47 has passed the Committee of the Whole. And the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 64. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 64, as introduced by the Minerals Committee. An act relating to economic development, providing that co-located data centers may be eligible to receive sales and use tax exemptions as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 64, Data Center Co-location Tax Exemption, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye. Legislators Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, Winters. One no, and that was Representative Reeder.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is an appropriation on this bill, and I don't happen to have that in front of me.
Chairman Lockhart, go ahead and make your re-referral at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think for the first time in this session, this will be a re-referral because there is an appropriation on this bill, so I'd like to re-refer this to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 32, as introduced by Representative Coleman, an act relating to elections, modifying provisions for filling of vacancies in elected office by elected precinct committeemen and committeewomen, as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 32, Elections, Vacancy Appointment Process, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye. Legislatures Blickery, Green, Kirkbride, Petroff, and Dan Zwanenser. There were two absent, Representative Byrd and Paxton, and two excused, Representative Berger and Gay.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman Blickery?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 32 do pass, and I would like to turn over management of the bill to the sponsor.
Representative Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill is pretty simple. On page 3, starting on line 13, I'm just asking that if we change the language to include if the vacancy occurs within 30 days after a primary election, The special meeting would include precinct committee men and committee women who were duly elected at that primary. This was something that happened. I don't know how much history everybody has with that, but when the previous representative of District 30 actually resigned, it became quite an issue to go through the statutorily required process for filling that vacancy because of this language. It had actually happened, I think it was 17 days after the primary, so we had no precinct committee men and women who had served in that office for 30 days. So we ended up taking it to a fourth district judge and asked him to make a ruling. His ruling was that those that had been reelected could vote at that special meeting. So what should have been a special meeting with, I think, 27 votes actually ended up being 7 votes. So I don't think that it took full advantage of our election processes or the way that the statute was originally intended. And so I think this language cleans that up.
Is there any further discussion? Are you ready for the representatives, Watts or Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We heard this bill in committee a couple hours ago, and I thought maybe an amendment was forthcoming before we got to the floor in first reading. But I guess I think it can be even cleaner and tighter than it is now. But for this point, I guess I'd ask you to vote in favor of it, but maybe expect a second reading amendment. Thanks.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Blickery's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 32 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. House Bill 32 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 116. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 116, as introduced by Representative Lockhart, an act relating to public lands, creating the Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee, providing for appointment of members, providing duties, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 116, Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye were Representative Byrd, Cannaday, Greer, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Somers, and Winters.
Members of the body, there's been some confusion about which bill we needed to re-refer. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go back to House Bill 32. House Bill 116 will need to be re-referred to committee number 2 Appropriations at the appropriate time, but that will be...
64.
I apologize. We will be going to Bill 64 next. And 116 will be re-referred when we're out of committee of the whole. So the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 64. And the reading clerk will read the bill.
All right, House Bill number 64, as recommended by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to economic development, providing that co-located data centers may be eligible to receive sales and use tax exemptions as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 64, Data Center Co-location Tax Exemption, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Byrd, Cannaday, Greer, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, Winters, one no vote, and that was Representative Reeder.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 64 do pass. I'd like to note that there is no fiscal note on this one, and that the management of the bill will be handled by the great legislator from Campbell County, Angelette.
Representative Kasparek.
Mr. Chairman, I will do my best to present without coughing and entertaining you all. This bill was originally introduced into the and enacted into law a couple of years ago and allowed for some tax exemptions for data centers. What this bill does, the primary purpose, is to clarify language to allow co-location data centers. Co-location data centers can host multiple entities' data storage operations, and this does go along with the original intent of the bill. Currently, data centers provide space, power, cooling, redundancy, and physical security for the server, storage, and networking equipment of other companies. And these facilities connect companies to a variety of telecommunications and network service providers with a minimum of cost. Often when they do this, they can run more efficiently if they allow other businesses to co-locate with them. So what this bill does on pages, on page 2, line 12 and 13, changes one facility to one or more entities and does the same thing on page 3, lines 12 or 13. All of the other requirements of the bill have to be met by the co-locators for exemptions, and we would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Co-located, I don't know if that needs to be defined or not, but could it be a do they have to both be data-oriented co-located centers or what? I mean, you couldn't put a saloon in there, could you?
Representative Kasparek.
I believe that it is intended for businesses of like facilities. They can use the space for related or some non-related companies, but they would also be working to store data and storage.
Chairman Madden.
Yeah. I'd like to ask in that regard, if they're not related to data, but they're still experiencing an exemption. I wonder if we're abandoning the spirit of the law when that passed. That was, pretty well defined that it would be, strictly speaking, data storage centers.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, and I serve on the Minerals Committee and heard this testimony. What we have to look at is the whole exemption for data centers in total, and the requirements off from memory are numerous. There's like six or seven different requirements. And one of those, for that to go forward, is a $50 million expenditure for a location. And so with the changes that are coming about, now that we've got an anchor in our state and some of the diversity, what we're looking at is the ability to make that huge investment and then allow more than one entity to share in that for that equipment. And to answer your question more specifically, the exception is not for saloon equipment. It is for the data processing equipment, and it's very, very tight. And unfortunately, we should have handed out that section. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very clearly in the title of the bill, it's for providing for co-location data centers. It's not for other enterprises that might fit there. And so the facilities that are there are designed for the efficiency and good operation of data centers, not other operations.
Any other discussion? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I look at the fiscal note that said the in the form of decreased sales and tax revenues. Is there any estimate of how much we are giving these data centers for their tax exemption? What does that cost the state, and what are we getting back? Do you have any information on that?
Chairman Lockhart.
Certainly the legislature deserves that information, but the way this ran up, we don't have that information with us. Let's pass this bill, and on second reading, we'll bring you that number for the full House to understand.
Any further discussion? Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, and just to follow up, what was presented to us today was, to date, this exemption's been, the overall exemption before the amendment was used once. Again, it's very narrowly defined, and for to incentivize these large investments in this attempt to diversify our economy within the state.
Any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 64 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
House Bill 64 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say no.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. House Bill number 47, amended as follows. Recommended do pass. Recommended do pass on House Bill 64. Yeah, I'm sorry, let me go back. House Bill 64, recommended do pass. House Bill 32, recommended do pass.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor of adoption of the Committee of the Whole report, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Committee of the Whole report is adopted. We are now on Chairman Lockhart. Do you have a re-referral, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 116 to your committee number 2, Appropriations, as there is a fiscal note with it.
Bill, without objection, the bill will be so re-referred. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I just thought that the convoluted manner in which we acted, I'm not sure that Representative Burkhart got his full measure of appreciation for his duties as chairman of the Committee of the Whole today. So this will be our event.
Congratulations, Representative Burkhart. We're now on that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, this is to inform you that the Senate has adopted the temporary Senate and joint rules of the 62nd Wyoming State Legislature with the following amendments. As the permanent Senate and joint rules of the 62nd Wyoming State Legislature General Session, signed by Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 100, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 0003, State Oil and Gas Supervision Qualifications, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 101, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 0010, Supreme Court Decisions and Sessions Law. The ayes were 30. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 102. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 0012, Child Support Payment Procedures. Ayes were 30. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 103. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 23, Challenge Loan Program Natural Gas Vehicle Infrastructure. There were 20 ayes and 10 noes. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 104. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 73, Unemployment Insurance Federal Compliance. There were 30 ayes. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 105. The bills below listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 0024, Partnership Challenge Loan Program Interest Rate. Ayes were 12, the noes were 18. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Those are the messages.
We're on that order of business of reports from standing committees. Chairman Harshman, we're on reports from standing committees. I need to read a couple in and then I'll call on you. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill number 2, Election Code Revisions, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Blickery, Green, Kirkbride, Petroff, Danz-Wanitzer. Absent were Representative Byrd and Paxton. And excused were Representative Berger and Gay. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred to as House Bill number 9, the Election Code Revisions 2, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Green, Kirkbride, Petroff, Danz-Wanitzer, absent were Representative Byrd and Paxton. Excused, Representative Berger and Representative Gay. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred to House Bill 52, Workplace Safety Initiatives, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Legislator Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Somers, and Winters.
We're at that order of business of committee announcements. Representatives Wanitzer, or Chairman Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow night, Tuesday, January 15th, 10 minutes after adjournment. And we'll be looking at House Bill number 100, Vehicle Registration Fees, Assistive Devices, House Bill 107, Unlawful Use of Liquefied Gas Containers, and House Bill 92, Interference with Emergency Calls.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment today, where we will hear House Bill 82, Interstate Sales of Health Insurance, and House Bill 125, Interstate Purchase of Health Insurance. Also, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room 302 for an informational meeting. The Department of Health will give us an overview of the Department of Health and an overview of Medicaid and Medicaid expansion. The whole body is invited to that educational meeting. It's at 8 a.m. If you want to know about Medicaid, Medicaid expansion, and the Department of Health, please feel free to attend at 8 a.m. in room 302.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, January 15th at 8 a.m. in room H8, and will take up House Joint Resolution 1, Mandatory Judicial Retirement, House Bill 101, Workers' Compensation Appeals, House Bill 24, Probate Amendments, House Bill 51, Probate Objections to Appointment, and then upon noon recess, we shall take up House Bill 119, Department of Family Services Programs, House Bill 115, Wrongful Death, Tolling of Statutes of Limitation, House Bill 133, Human Trafficking, and House Bill 86, Child Placement Orders, and if necessary to complete work on the bills, we will meet upon adjournment. I will point out, in the morning we meet in our regular room in H8, however at noon we'll be in room 302.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number four, Education, will be meeting at 4 p.m. where we will take up HB 17, School Capital Construction Enrollment Methodology.
Vice Chairman Blickery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number seven, Corporations, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, January 15th, upon noon recess in room H18 to take up House Bill 3, Effective Financing Statements Duration, House Bill 19, Low Voltage Electrical Licensing Communications, and House Bill 33, Roofing Contractors.
Chairman Sumlet.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number five, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow morning, Tuesday, January 15th at 8 a.m. in room H11 to hear the following bills. House Bill 4, Brands, House Bill 71, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, and House Bill 38, Use of Water Outside the State. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, will meet Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock to go over the bill's large project funding and, if time, alcoholic beverages, purchasing, acceptable identification. I'm sorry, large projects is House Bill 81 and the other one's 122.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 12, Rules, will meet Tuesday, January 15th upon adjournment to consider the following bills. House Bill 49, Legislature Certificates of Attendance. House Bill 50, Distribution of Bills. House Bill 57, Constituent Service Allowance.
Are there any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10 o'clock a.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, January 15, 2013.
You've heard the motion that the House adjourn until 10 o'clock tomorrow, Tuesday, January 15th at 10 a.m. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House will be adjourned until tomorrow, January 15th, 2013 at 10 a.m.